If you have your Bibles, I would like to ask you to please turn to 1 Samuel chapter 22. 1 Samuel chapter 22. I would like to begin reading with verse 16 and read through verse 23. This passage of Scripture is telling us about one of the many occasions where King Saul was trying to kill David. You remember the conflict that existed between King Saul and David. The main problem was that the people loved David more than they loved King Saul. And there was a tremendous amount of jealousy. King Saul hated David. David did not return that hatred. David often did spare King Saul's life when he could have killed him. But David was a faithful servant of God, a man that loved God, a man who trusted in God. And even though God had anointed him to be king, he was willing to wait until God took King Saul out of the picture. And so it is that King Saul continued to hate David over and over, was trying to kill him. He pursued him. He not only hated David, but he hated anyone that supported David. Anybody that stood with David, he hated them. And that's the passage that we're reading about tonight, where King Saul is very angry because the prophets of the Lord, the priests of the Lord, they were standing with King David because of David's spirituality, because of David's closeness to God. The priests loved David and stood with him. That enraged King Saul, and he desired to kill not only David, but he desired to kill those priests and did do that. We're going to read about that now in 1 Samuel chapter 22, beginning in verse 16. The word of God says, "And the king said, Thou shalt surely die, Ahimelech, thou and all thy father's house," that is all the priests. "And the king said unto the footmen that stood about him," this is King Saul's own army, his footmen, he says to his army, he says, "Turn and slay the priests of the Lord, because their hand also is with David, and because they knew when he fled and did not show it unto me. But the servants of the king would not put forth their hand to fall upon the priests of the Lord." They refused to obey the king. The next verse says in verse 18, "And the king said to Doeg, Turn thou and fall upon the priest. And Doeg the Edomite turned, and he fell upon the priests and slew them on that day 85 persons." That's 85 priests that he slew that did wear a linen ephod. "And Nob, the city of the priests, smote he with the edge of the sword, both men and women, children and sucklings, and oxen and asses and sheep, with the edge of the sword." So King Saul first called on his own soldiers to slay, and they would not. So then he called on Doeg the Edomite. Doeg and his army went forth, and they began to kill the priests, and then they killed the women and the children and all the people that were in the city. They kill those people as well as killing the oxen and the asses and the sheep. They slew them all with the edge of the sword. So the whole city was killed. Verse 20 says, "And one of the sons of Ahimelech, the son of Ahitub, named Abiathar, escaped and fled after David. And Abiathar showed David that Saul had slain the Lord's priests. And David said unto Abiathar, I knew it that day, when Doeg the Edomite was there, that he would surely tell Saul, I have occasioned the death of all the persons of thy father's house." This is what David now says to Abiathar in verse 23. David says to Abiathar, "Abide thou with me, fear not. For he that seeketh my life, seeketh thy life. But with me, thou shalt be in safeguard." I want you to think about what a wonderful thing it is that this man that was being pursued by the king, you know, if anyone was being pursued by the president of the United States and you took that person into your home, you understand you would suffer the same death that that person would suffer. You'd suffer the same sentence of that person for harboring a fugitive. And that's what David was doing. David said to Abiathar, "Abide thou with me. Come into my home. You come dwell with me and fear not." And then he goes on and says, "For he that seeketh my life, seeketh thy life." You see the kindred spirit there was between David and Abiathar. They had a lot in common. They both were great men of God. You remember how God said of David that there was not a man like unto David, that he departed not from anything that God had commanded him to do, save only in the matter of Uriah the Hittite. David was a man after God's own heart, and so was Abiathar. And so David says, "Now you come and you dwell with me, abide thou with me, fear not, don't be afraid. The same man that seeks my life is seeking your life." He says, "If you will abide with me, thou shalt be in safeguard." Now, brethren, I want you to know that we are fast approaching a time that all of the saints of God, all of the servants of the Lord, they're going to be pursued and they're going to be hated just as much as David and Abiathar were hated right here. And it's very important that you and I begin to have the same kind of kindred and love and fellowship, the same kind of sincerity that David had for Abiathar when David said, "You come and you dwell with me. You come, live with me, abide thou with me, and don't be afraid." Brethren, David had no fear of King Saul. He had no fear of Saul's army. God had declared that David was going to be the king of Israel, and David believed what God had told him. And so David knew that God was going to have a protective hedge around him. And so he could say to Abiathar, "You come dwell with me, abide thou with me, and fear not, don't be afraid. Because the same man that's after me is after you, and you dwell with me, and you'll be in safeguard," or "you'll dwell safely as long as you dwell with me." First thing I want us to think about tonight is, are you willing to take me into your home and me live with you? And one person's shaking his head as emphatically a no as I've ever seen. Well, I want to tell you, brethren, you better get ready. We all need to get ready. The standard of living and the way we've been living in the past is fast approaching an end. And we need to reach a point that we're just like David, where we're willing to say to all the servants of God, "You come dwell with me." We can dwell together. Can two dwell together? Do you think it's possible, even for me and Brother Neil, who just shook his head emphatically, "No, I don't want you to come live with me." Do you think it's possible that me and Brother Neil could live together and actually be happy together? "If we had to," he says. "If your life depended on it, if you had no other alternative, then you would go along with that." Okay, well, everybody understands his position, but I want us to all grow to the point that not only would we, if we had to, but I want us to grow to the point that we can say, "I willingly, I want you, I compel you." You remember when Jesus was going about in his ministry, there were many people that wanted him, "Go on down the road, get out of the city, get out of my house." But there were some people that Jesus, as he walked in his journey on this earth, there were some people that would compel him, "Come home with me. Come dwell with me. Come eat with me." Now, that's the kind of fellowship that you and I need to begin to have one with another, is that we would sit down one with another, that we would sup with one another, and that we would get closer and closer together, that we could actually, truthfully, from the bottom of our heart, we can say, "I can live with you and you can live with me. We can dwell together in the same house." I believe that no matter what differences there are in our personalities, I believe that by the grace of God and with the help of God, You know, I doubt that David and Abiathar were completely compatible as far as their natural personalities were concerned. I doubt seriously that King David, or David as he was here before he became the king, and Abiathar, I doubt seriously that if you had asked them, could they live together, they may have said, just like Brother Neil just did, not on your life. All through the Word of God, we find that people of God have been able, by the grace of God and with the help of God, they have been able to dwell together in unity. Now the Bible says, can two walk together except they be agreed? And unless we have a lot in common, then we certainly cannot walk together and we cannot dwell together. But if we have as much in common as David and Abiathar did, if we realize and recognize that we have one enemy, and that enemy is out to destroy your life and my life, it'll cause us to realize it's a matter of life and death. And all the differences in our personalities and all the other kinds of differences that might exist, we need to be able to... Did you know the children of Israel that fled out of Jerusalem in the destruction of Jerusalem? They went and they dwelt together in caves. And it wasn't one man inviting another man. But many, many of those children of Israel would be in one cave, and many would be in another cave. I'm telling you, brethren, they had to learn to live together and be at peace one with another. They had to learn to be able to sit down with one another, and whatever the differences were, they could say, I love you and you love me. We have one common enemy, and our enemy is not each other. Our enemy is all those that oppose truth and righteousness, all of those that are against Christ, all of those that are anti-Christ. Now I want to just pause right there and tell you, there is no such thing as one anti-Christ in this world. There are many, there have been many antichrists from even biblical times. There were many antichrists when the Apostle John wrote 1 John. He talks about many antichrists then. There are many antichrists today. There are more antichrists in America today than there have ever been. By that I mean that there is more hatred of the name of Jesus Christ, and there's more hatred against the truth of God's Word than there has ever been in the world today. And as that hatred begins to grow, your life and my life, if we remain faithful to Christ, our lives are going to be in just as much danger as David's life was. And we need to pray, God, help me to see how David and Abiathar, how David, first of all, I want you to see how David said, you come live with me. You come live with me. There may come a day that Brother Neil might even say, Brother Billy, you come live with me. He may even come knocking on my door and say, come live with me. Now, would a lot of things have to change between now and then? Yes, but I'll tell you this. I believe if my life was in danger, he would come help me. I believe he would open his home. And that's what I want us to begin to realize is, Lord, I need to learn to dwell together with the brethren in unity. Not just in the church, but even much closer than that, we need to learn to live together. We have one common enemy. And that's the one I was trying to preach about this morning, the trapper. Satan is our enemy. He is our enemy. We're not each other's enemies. Satan is our enemy. And we need to recognize him as such and know that we need to learn to help one another and defend one another and stand up for each other, and that we need to protect each other. And that's what David said to Abiathar, abide thou with me. Fear not, for he that's out to kill me is out to kill you, and if you'll abide with me, you will be safe. You'll be in safeguard. Now, do you know why David could honestly, truthfully declare, you'll be safe if you dwell with me? Because God was with David. And David knew the protective hedge that God had around him. So he knew that God had a hedge not only around him personally, but upon all those that were in his household. And I want us, brethren, to pray that God will help us to realize how much we need to say to other people. You know, what's so sad today is we don't even want people to come eat a bite with us. Don't come eat a meal with us. Don't come eat with me. That's sad. You know what? You're never going to ask people to come live with you if you can't even have them come eat with you. Look at 2 Kings. Turn forward in your Bibles about 50 pages and look at 2 Kings chapter 4. 2 Kings chapter 4, the Word of God tells us about how Elisha, a great man of God, a servant of the Lord, just like David and Abiathar the priest and David were servants of the Lord. Now, Elisha, a great servant of God and prophet of God, was a man who traveled about preaching and teaching what God put on his heart. And in 2 Kings chapter 4, beginning in verse 8, I want you to listen to what God's Word says. 2 Kings chapter 4, beginning in verse 8. The Word of God says, "And it fell on the day that Elisha passed to Shunem, where was a great woman." You notice the wording there? A what? A great woman. That doesn't mean that she was a queen. Doesn't mean that she was necessarily a rich woman. I'm telling you, brethren, when the Word of God describes this woman as being a great woman, she was a great spiritual woman. She was a woman that was full of the Spirit of God and full of love for God. And because her love for God was so great, she also had a great love for the man of God, Elisha. And so it is that the Scripture says there was a great woman in Shunem, and she constrained him. Do you notice the wording there? She did what? She constrained him to eat bread. And so it was that as oft as he passed by, he turned in thither to eat bread. Why did he go there to eat every time he was in Shunem? Why do you think he always went there? Because what did he feel when he went there? What did he feel when he went there? He felt welcome. He felt loved. He felt hospitality. He felt a kindred spirit. The same persons that hated Elisha, the same enemy of Elisha, was the same enemy of this great woman. Listen, brethren, anybody, the Bible says, all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. And if we're not suffering persecution, it's just because we have not been living as godly in Christ Jesus as we should. And those that do suffer persecution and those that live godly in Christ Jesus, they need to pray that God will help us to spend more time with each other. Heard two old preachers. One was Elder Emory Jackson. I asked him not long before he died, I said, "Brother Emory, if you could change your entire ministry, what would you do differently?" He said, "Brother Billy," he said, I would not have spent so much time working with people that did not care about truth and righteousness." He said, "I spent most of my time trying to work with people that really just did not care." And he said, "If I could live my life over again, I would spend my time, I would have fellowship, I would sit down with, I would share my time and my energy with people that really loved the Lord, people that were committed to God, people that wanted Him in their presence rather than people that were continuously running from Him and hiding from Him and were not interested in the truth." And Elder V.F. Hagin said the same thing as Brother Emir Jackson. He would not have wasted so much time trying to work with people that just do not care. Those people that do not care now, they will become your enemies as things get worse in America. Because they are not a friend of God, they're a friend of the world. And a friend of the world is an enemy of God. And an enemy of God, if you're a follower of Christ, if you're a disciple of Christ, you are an enemy of those people who are enemies of God. So if you find somebody who's a friend of God, if you find somebody who loves the Lord, you need to latch hold to them and you need to eat with them and you need to spend time with them. You need to have fellowship with them. You need to learn how to live together, because it's fast coming a time that's probably what's going to have to happen, is you're going to have to live with them. You need to learn how to live with them. You need to learn how to love them in spite of all their shortcomings and failures. Because if they love the Lord with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength, and they're trying to serve the Lord, you need to recognize they have the same enemy that you do. And that's the devil. This woman, She compelled Elisha to come and eat bread with her. And every time he went into that area, he went to her house and he ate bread. Verse 9, in 2 Kings 4:9, and she said unto her husband, "Behold now, I perceive that this is an holy man of God." What was she described as in verse 8? She was described as a what? A great woman. And now what does she say about Elisha? "I perceive that this is an holy man of God, which passeth by us continually." Did they have a lot in kindred? Did they have a lot in common? Yeah, she was a great woman. She was a woman of God, and he was a man of God. And so she says to her husband in verse 10, "Let us make a little chamber, I pray thee, on the wall, and let us set for him there a bed and a table and a stool and a candlestick. And it shall be when he cometh to us that he shall turn in thither." What's he going to do? He's going to come abide with them. Now, you know, abiding with someone doesn't necessarily mean it's the rest of your life that you're going to abide with them. But you do need to learn to abide with people. Spend time with them. My daddy and Elder Emory Jackson were very, very close. And we spent our vacation times together. The few times that we went on vacation, we spent it with Brother Emory and Sister Frances and their family. It meant a lot to me to sit and listen to those two men of God talk to the wee hours of the night, early hours of the morning, every night during vacation time, and get up the next morning and start all over studying and talking about the Word of God, sharing the Word of God. I never heard a cross word between my daddy and Brother Emory or between Sister Frances and my mother. How could we go on vacation and spend a whole week with them? 1 week was spent on the river out from Statesboro in a little cabin, two little cabins, but we stayed there in those little cabins. How do you spend a whole week in a little cabin on a river with people and never have a crossword? You've got to have a couple of great men of God and a couple of great women of God that love each other and love the Lord. And what do they also recognize? We have one common enemy, and he's out to destroy me, and he's out to destroy you. Isn't that what David said to Abiathar? The man that's out to kill me is out to kill you. That's what I say to you, Brother David. I think you and I could live together. I don't know what we do with Sister Jane, but I think me and you could live together. I love you, Sister Jane. Yeah, I think we could live together. If we had to, we could. I hope that everybody's understanding what I'm trying to get across tonight. God, I believe God put this on my heart. This is the reason we didn't just keep on singing tonight. It's because God's put this on my heart very strongly. I better learn to love you enough to eat with you. I better learn to love you enough to say, come into my home. I better learn to love you enough to say, you know, you can come live with me. You can come live with me. By the grace of God, we can live together. Just like David and Abiathar. Just like this woman. Now, Elisha didn't stay with her a year probably, but he stayed with her. Every time that he went there, he stayed in her home. It progressed, what I'm trying to get across right here, it progressed from just eating with her to what? To actually abiding with her. And that's what we need to pray. God, help me to learn to enjoy somebody's fellowship so much that we can eat together, and then eventually we can maybe stay together, maybe take a little time off together, but learn to live with each other. There are a lot of other things on my heart. I want you to go quickly to the New Testament, very quickly. I want you to turn to John. Please turn in your Bibles to John chapter 15. John chapter 15. Now, it's a wonderful thing that we can dwell together. What's even more wonderful is that who was the main man we looked at back there in 1 Samuel 22? Who was the main man there? Who was the main man? Who was the best man? Who was the good man? That was David. And you know that Jesus is called what? The Son of David. And as you look at David's life, you'll find many, many, many parallels as you look at the life of King David and the life of Jesus Christ, the Son of David. And did you know that Jesus, the Son of David, said virtually the identical same words to me and you and his disciples as David did to Abiathar? David said to Abiathar, "Abide thou with me and fear not. And if you abide with me, you'll be," what? What's the last word there? You'll be in safeguard. You'll be safe. Now, I want you to hear Jesus speaking to you tonight. And I want you to hear Jesus saying to you, "Abide with me." And if you'll abide with me, there's no reason for you to fear. And if you'll abide with me, you'll be what? You'll be safe if you'll abide with me. Isn't it wonderful? You know, who was that David was speaking to back there? He was a what? What was the occupation of that a man named Abiathar? What was his name? What was his occupation? He was a priest. Do you know what we are today? We are made kings and priests unto God. God has made us kings and priests unto the Lord. You're just like Abiathar. You're hated just like Abiathar was hated. You have escaped so far. The day is coming that he's going to keep pursuing you. And unless you get in the house of Jesus, unless you abide with Jesus, you won't be safe. The only place for you to be safe is not just dwelling with David or not dwelling with just Wendell or Tandy. The only way to be safe is if you abide with Jesus. Now listen to what Jesus says in John 15, beginning in verse 4. He says, "Abide with me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. And if a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch," now watch this, "and is withered," and what? What's the next word? "And men gather them, and cast them into the fire, and they are burned." You know what's going to happen if you don't abide in Christ? Men are going to gather you up and cast you into the fire. Come down to, in closing, verses 18 and 19. The scripture says in verses 18, Jesus continues to speak to his people and he says, "If the world hate you," now let me say this again, if the world doesn't hate you, you're a traitor to Jesus Christ. You're not standing where you need to stand if the world doesn't hate you. "If the world hate you," Jesus says, "ye know that it hated me before it hated you." Let's go back there to David and Abiathar. What did David say to Abiathar? He said, "Abide thou with me, fear not, for he that," what? "He that hateth me," he that's trying to kill me, is trying to kill you. Isn't that what Jesus is saying here? He says, "If the world hate you, If the world hate you, you know that it hated me before it hated you." Did King Saul hate David before he hated Abiathar? Does the devil hate Jesus more than he hates you? When will Satan declare war with you? When you abide with Jesus, when you start following Christ more and more, you're going to become an enemy of Satan. Verse 19 says, "If you were of the world would love his own, but because you're not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you." Abiathar, had it not been for David, by the grace of God, taking him in, Abiathar would have been caught and would have been killed. And unless you abide with Jesus, Satan will destroy your life. May God help us tonight to realize how important it is that we begin to abide with each other, but more importantly, that we abide with Christ, and that as we abide with Christ, we will be in safety. The Lord is our shepherd. I have to close with one verse of Scripture. You don't have to turn here, but listen to this one verse of Scripture. In Psalm 91, just listen. Psalm 91, listen to verse 1. The Scripture says, "He that dwelleth in the secret place," you see there? You know what Abiathar was dwelling in back there in David's house? He was dwelling in a what? A secret place. And David says, "He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide," shall what? Abide, what are we talking about? Abiding. "Shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty." That's a wonderful thing, a wonderful blessing. To abide under the shadow, under the protection of the Almighty. He'll hide you, he'll care for you, he'll feed you, he will protect you. Abide in him.